Oh no, oh no, oh no.
Yo, yo, yo.
Oh no, you didn't.
Sucker tried to play me, but you never paid me, never.
Oh no, you didn't.
Payback is a coming, you will be running forever.
Oh no, you did.
Until I get my vengeance, I will never end this mayhem.
Oh no, you did.
I'm a mercenary, you ain't got a prayer, you owe me.
Oh no, you did.
You know, I had to let that part play or we get messages going, you didn't let the high note play. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. It is Monday again. Man, the weekends are going way too fast.
It was. It's like I started getting all depressed Saturday at some point. I was like, God, the weekend is almost over.
I know.
It's only Saturday.
Wait a minute.
Gosh, it seems like they lasted longer before.
I know. Too many games, not enough time.
Oh, man. I must say, you all don't know. I'm going to need y'all another one of y'all to get an iPhone again. These iPhone games are killing me. The iPad ones. I mean, I literally have a list, and I'd like to apologize to the developers that are sending them to us. It's not that we're not playing. It's just so many. See, we lost our Ginger on the iPhone side. She went on to the Xperia, so now
I love my Xperia.
Yeah, and Blaster opted to get an Android powered phone, much like Ginger's is. So it's just me and Snow, and I'm telling you, we're dying. We are dying. She's not even answered me. I told her. I texted her this morning and said, I have some more games. She's not said anything. So that means that came out to bleep. I'm going to cut you, is what that means. So I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do it. They're killing me. How you doing this morning, Ginger?
I am doing just fine. Mm-hmm. I am awake. I'm alert. I got food in my belly.
Me too. We're all breakfast.
Good. The heck? Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. I actually got up and, got moving.
Well, just in case you didn't know, you're listening to Lunch with Ginger and Corey, and I am, who am I?
Mother Teresa.
You mean the exact opposite of Mother Teresa.
All right, well, that worked too.
And who are you? Is that Ginger over there?
I'm E.T.
All right, go home, E.T. You had enough.
Phone home,
E.T. Now, I got to play some of Dead Island. And,
did you?
I still have it. I like it. Those of you out there that don't like here's the line that I'm noticing drawn in the sand, is you guys out there don't like it, and I've seen a lot of women who do.
Huh.
And I do have something to post up about the comparisons, of course, between it and Left 4 Dead and Resident Evil, of course, because those are the two games it's getting compared to. But honestly, I do believe they took two genres and meshed them together and created something new and very interesting. I liked the mix of the crazy zombies running at you like Left 4 Dead, and then I like the ones that are just kind of, you know, not paying you any attention. Most of the time, if you do it properly, you can stealth your way through areas where there's a lot of zombies, which I like. You can't do that in Left 4 Dead because you know it's triggered by wherever you are, and they just come running at you. But I managed to stealth my way through a couple of things. And my most favorite part so far is that I can drive a vehicle, and I was mowing over me some zombies. Oh, that was just hilarious.
That is beautiful.
And those of you that have been playing, there's that beginning part when you're coming down the side of the mountain, and they were in the street, like, eating people, and I was just rolling over them. Bam! Bam! It was hilarious. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm a little demented. This one is a lot more gory, so if you have a weak stomach, just don't do it. Way more gory than Left 4 Dead or Resident Evil. Way.
Like real gory? Or
like really gory rib bones and entrails.
Ew.
Yeah, you. If you're really squeamish, this is not one you want to play.
So we should send a copy to Snow White.
No, she will hunt us down and kill us like dogs in the street. So we can never let her play that one. We have to ease her in. We'd have to back up to Plants vs. Zombies and kind of ease her in slowly because it is really, really gory. A couple of times I was like, oh, you cut this spaghetti down.
Ew, that's bad, really.
No, I'm not squeamish at all. The stuff I saw working in the medical field, I am not at all squeamish. There's nothing you're going to show me that's going to make me throw up or run. I might poke it. Look at that. that hurt?
Nice. I'm going to poke it.
Does that hurt? Ow. Oh, I'm sorry. That's like your small intestine, huh? Yeah. Okay. So we got to do some news because we are off the chain already.
Yes, yes, we are. We're so off the chain. And this is,
Coffee for the win.
What?
Coffee for the win.
Coffee. Yay.
Let's go.
All right. So I guess you're looking for a story.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we were talking about the iPhones a minute ago, so I'm going to go with this one. GamePolitics.com. I think this came out Saturday-ish? Yeah. Or late Friday. Anyways, we missed it. There's rumor going around. Sprint to offer unlimited plan for the iPhone.
Whatever.
According to a Bloomberg report, Sprint will offer the iPhone next month with unlimited data service plans, according to people familiar with the matter. Oh, hold on. Oh, I was going to sneeze.
Bless you.
Gone. Thank you. The country's third largest behind AT&T and Verizon will begin selling the next version of the iPhone, iPhone 5, in mid-October. If the sources cited are correct, Sprint could be the only company in the country to offer iPhone with an unlimited data service for a flat fee. Naturally, this would certainly help them draw customers from AT&T and Verizon Wireless. Spokespeople for both Apple and Sprint declined comment on the rumor. To prepare for the launch of iPhone, Sprint has reportedly postponed the September debut of a rival smartphone that uses 4G wireless technology. For now, it seems like Sprint is the only mobile broadband carrier that could be considered net neutrality friendly.
You know, I absolutely love how they keep discounting Virgin Mobile and Boost Mobile, and those are the companies that are going to eat them alive. We do not care about your little unlimited plan. And I think it was them last week that were saying that, but it's kind of hidden in there that you're still going to have to pay for a data plan to be unlimited. You still got to pay $15 a month, and then it's unlimited. That's not unlimited to me.
No.
So I think Virgin Mobile is going to eat you guys alive, so is Boost Mobile, and eventually Sprint, Apple is going to turn on you, and they're going to go start releasing iPhones to Boost and Virgin Mobile, and then you can hang that BS up. Oh, we'll give it to you for, you know, it's unlimited. Unlimited means, people, I pay one price for my phone, period, a month. One.
Mm-hmm.
Not I pay for this many unlimited minutes, for, you know, $40 for unlimited minutes and then $15 for unlimited data. It's all together, and I can surf the web as much as I want, whenever I want, however I want. Not extra money. You're going to lose out. You people out there that are trying to save your money, you can't buy games. I'm telling you, Boost and Virgin Mobile are the way to go. And they've got nice Android phones, really nice ones.
Just saying.
Now, if you do decide you want to get an Android Xperia phone, please talk to the Ginger. Don't you get some credit for that?
I love. Oh, that'd be nice. Yes, I love my Xperia. It's so pretty. It's so beautiful. And, oh, there are a ton of new MMOs out on it.
That's right.
That's
right.
And they're just for the Xperia. You can't get them anywhere else.
That's right, people. That's right.
Hot. So hot.
All right, before I do my next story, I got to update you on the charts because sometimes they don't send them to us on time. But this time I happen to have it this morning on time. Yay!
Very nice. Yay!
All right, so from 10 to 1, 10, Gran Turismo 5. 9, Star Fox 3D for 3DS. 8, guess what, Ginger? Lego Pirates of the Caribbean still in the top 10. Amazing, right?
That is amazing.
Rugby World Cup 2011. Who is playing rugby anyway? Zumba Fitness is number 6. Number 5, Deus Ex Human Revolution. Number 4, Resistance 3. 3, Driver, San Francisco. No, Ryan Gosling is not in it. Don't ask. 2, Warhammer 40K Space Marine. And, of course, number 1 game, Dead Island. Rawr. Okay, so then. On to other news. Wow. So some of you will be surprised to hear this and some not. I am surprised and both disgusted. According to VentureBeat this morning, The Sims Social has surpassed social gaming supergiant Zynga's Farmville and now has 36 million monthly active users just under a month after its launch. This is according to App Data. Even Ginger has begun to play.
I played once. It didn't really grab my attention too much.
I saw you sent me a request. Stop it, Ginger. The Sims Social.
No.
The Sims Social has held the top spot as the fastest growing application on Facebook for more than a week. The game picked up more than 1.7 million users on Sunday, just yesterday, and picked up about a total of 8.3 million users, new users last week. It's seen enough growth to knock off Farmville and become the fourth most popular social game on Facebook, behind Zynga's own Empire and Allies, Cityville, Texas, and Texas Hold'em Poker. Zynga's Farmville now has 35.7 monthly active users. Electronic Arts is now the second top Facebook app developer with 77.8 million monthly active users. It's still well behind Zynga's 273 million monthly active users, but it's much farther than the next closest social game maker, Wooga, which has nearly 40 million active users across all of its games. Before The Sims Social launched, Electronic Arts had 29 monthly active users, according to App Data. Electronic Arts' newest social game looks like it will give Zynga, which hasn't really faced any stiff competition in Facebook games, a run for its money. And that's because the game has a massive franchise and name behind it. Yes, that will be why. Along with a development team that has a pretty stellar track record, EA has sold more than 140 million copies of The Sims and its sequels and expansion packs, and has generated around $3 billion in revenue from it. I know you're like, what, The Sims? Yeah, if you've never played, that's... Go and give it a play. Don't expect to be blowing up. Well, you can blow up things. I won't say that. Lots of little hidden gems in there. Okay, but anyway, The Sims Social is basically a lightweight version of The Sims built into a browser on Facebook, and that is very true. The Sims Social is basically The Sims 1, very much cleaned up, streamlined, so that it'll run on Facebook. That's basically what The Sims 1 looks like. You're a little bit closer, I think. The view, three-quarter view, is a little closer than it was in the original game, but that is essentially it. Of course, you didn't need your friends to help you build stuff, which is annoying. Of course, the company has established a fierce casual social gaming team, but kind of quietly. The company bought Playfish back in 2009, also bought casual games maker PopCap for $750 million, which we told you about. Both teams have made successful games. Once the PopCap deal closes, there's a good chance Playfish will be working with casual games maker PopCap. And, of course, one of our alum is over at Playfish. Hello, Mr. Hines. You've heard me talk about him in the cowboy hat. Y'all go by and tell him about that cowboy hat. That is just out of order. And I checked last night, he still has it on. I'm going to talk about you every day until you take that off. Take that picture down with the, Not good. Anyway. What you got?
Oh, what have I got? I have got all kinds of craziness. Juicy. And I'm coughing my head off over here.
Juicy, yes. Juicy.
A little bit, maybe. Actually, this is kind of small, so I'm probably going to pull two. But for starters, GamePolitics.com. From Dust, Steam patch kills DRM. While some within the Ubisoft studio structure may think that DRM is a grand idea, Ubisoft seems to have relented once again, this time patching out the protection from Dust. The company apologized for the always-on DRM being in the game last month, because when they announced the PC version, the company said it would have an active once-style of protection. Obviously, that didn't happen, and fans were ticked off about it. I'm going to lose my voice. The company said when it apologized that the DRM being put in the game was simply a misunderstanding. Misunderstanding my butt. Misunderstanding or not, a new patch on Steam removes the DRM completely. All right, so from the Steam patch notes, title can be played in offline mode. No connection to the internet is required after installing the patch. Save file is moved from the Uplay Ubisoft server to the local machine. You know what? This is good. This is really good. You should not have to be online to play your game, especially if it's the first person. You're not playing with other people. Why do you have to be online?
Because they want to watch you.
No, you're not Big Brother. Get up off my machine.
That would be why they want to keep an eye on us.
They All want right. internet porn. I know they do. They can't have it. But wait.
Oh, you got more. Go ahead.
Well, that one was a small one, so I want to grab, another one. All right. This morning, same place, GamePolitics.com, because I love them. Public Knowledge takes on ISP data capping. Consumer advocacy group Public Knowledge wants to show internet users what happens when internet service providers cap data with a new website that it plans to launch soon, according to the National Journal. Launching later this month, this new campaign hopes to bring more awareness to consumers about the serious issue of data capping with a new website that serves up examples of the impact in an interactive and visually pleasing way. With the advent of cloud storage, streaming media, and other bandwidth-heavy activities that are becoming more popular, internet users may suddenly find themselves hitting the virtual wall of data capping and their ISP punishing them for surpassing it in some way. Public knowledge spokesman Art Brodsky told National Journal, "This internet rationing is a huge issue, and we just want to have something to show people how much data they're using. It doesn't help that back in December of last year, the Federal Communications Commission gave its blessing to ISPs to use data caps without having to worry about being regulated by the agency. The policy, believe it or not, was part of their net neutrality guidelines." From that ruling, prohibiting tiered or usage-based pricing and requiring all subscribers to pay the same amount for broadband service regardless of the performance or usage of the service would force lighter end users of the network to subsidize heavier end users. It would also foreclose practices that may appropriately align incentives to encourage efficient use of networks that data caps. Naturally, public knowledge wants the SEC to reconsider that position. Brodsky says, "We're trying to get them concerned, so we're going to get a little information up, get a web page up, and see what happens. The new webpage will ask visitors to enter their email address and make a financial contribution. Then it will determine what website they came from and what kind of device they're using to surf the web." Brodsky didn't give a lot of details on other parts of the anti-capping campaign, but the group has plenty of activities planned to get its message out to the masses and to the FCC. They hope to have the special website up by September 30th. Brodsky closed by saying that any user data it collects will not be sold. You know, I'd like to know exactly what they're planning on doing besides, you know, just asking us for money. That
cutting down our internet connection.
Note. Well, yeah, I mean, I understand the data capping, but the public knowledge website is more of what I'm talking about. You know, you go there to learn about data capping and why it's bad, but all they're telling us here is, you know, we're going to ask you for donation and we're going to take your email and we're going to find out what kind of computer you came from, but we're not actually going to tell you much about how we plan to teach you about data capping.
Mm. Well,
that kind of hits
a privacy, get out of my business.
I don't want them knowing it. Why would I want you to?
Of course you want them to know. We want to share everything.
No.
We are a digital utopian society.
No, you can keep your digital STDs to yourself.
Matter of fact, my avatar is naked somewhere right now. Okay.
That is hot.
Right, well, I don't even know where. I don't know if she's logged in. I don't know which avatar. I got like 25. Who knows?
That's hot.
I think I have digital multiple personality disorder. I'm creating that disease.
I got accused of that last night.
Ah, they haven't met me yet. You tell them, said, yeah, I may have 5 or 6, but Corey's got like 25. And they each have a story, I'm telling you. They each have a life and a story. I can just rattle off the details to you. Mm-hmm. It's a scary thing. All right, so Samsung is launching their Free the TV Challenge 2011. Samsung Electronics America, whom I absolutely adore for being so astute in fixing my lovely Samsung TV year before last. Thank you. Announced today that it will follow up last year's successful Free the TV Challenge with a new developer challenge this year that raises the stakes even higher. The new challenge is designed to celebrate the recent release of version 2.5 of Samsung's software development kit, create excitement among developers, and showcase Samsung's unique ecosystem, which allows developers to create an entirely new category of converged apps, apps that work across multiple screens, running on both the TV and another device such as the iPhone, tablet, or computer to create new experiences for consumers. Go away, Jay Dukes. The winner of last year's challenge, MOVL's WeDraw, represents a perfect example of converged apps.
Go away, Jay. Go away.
Yes, we do. He's talking about where my avatar is. I'll tell you guys about that shortly. Simply by installing the WeDraw app on both a Samsung TV and any iOS or Android phone or tablet, users can use the handheld device to draw pictures that appear in real time on the TV. Other players then race to guess the word by typing their guesses into their phones. That's cool. I like that. That sounds so much fun. Samsung's app became the most popular TV app platform in the industry, with more than 900 apps available worldwide and nearly 10 million downloads to date, said Eric Anderson, VP of Content for Samsung Electronics of America. I'm going to cut him. In addition, our Galaxy mobile phones and tablets have been incredibly well received. The time is right to bring these devices together with converged apps. I'm excited and energized to see what creative ideas our developer community will come up with. There are three categories of converged apps that Samsung is encouraging developers to explore, and I'm not going to read them out to you, but that story will be posted on our site if you want to go read the details of each category. But it's controller apps, companion apps, and interactive apps. To participate, you can simply visit the freethetvchallenge.com website to enter the competition. Find information about downloading the their SDK, 2.5, and it is available free of charge at the Samsung D Forum site, which is samsungdforum.com, where interested developers can also find guides, tutorials, and a QA section, and an emulator if you don't have access to any Samsung phones or devices. Emulators are awesome. I have one for the iPad. The Samsung D Forum site also provides a community. I'm going to cut my cousin. Community for developers to ask questions, discuss ideas and concepts, and otherwise interact. Oh, I need to tell you about the prizes. That will help. Okay, so first prize is $100,000. 65-inch LED D8000 series smart TV. Retail value for $6,000. You'll also get a Galaxy Tab 10.1 with 32 gigabytes of space. Estimated retail value, $600. Second and third prize ain't so bad either. $75,000, you get a 55-inch LED TV and a Galaxy Tab. Again, 32 megabytes, same thing. Third prize, $50,000, you get a TV, 55-inch. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Third prize, $50,000, 55-inch TV and a Galaxy Tab. So all good prizes. So even if you come in third, I don't know about you, $50,000 is good money. I'll take third any day of the week. Anyway, we'll post more details about that in our website.
Yay.
On our website, Wild Injuries.
Right. I got so much stuff. Am I muted? Am I here? I'm here. Okay, good.
I'm here. I'm muted.
GamePolitics.com this morning, because I love them, and there's so many stories over the weekend and from Friday. There's some research out there, parents, you may want to be aware of. Nagging parents may drive kids to play more games. Nagging parents may drive kids to play more video games.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. An interesting research project from the Michigan University that polled middle schoolers about their game-playing habits found that nagging parents may be driving their kids to play even more video games than they normally would. Of course, researchers say that children could simply perceive that their parents are nagging them about their gameplay. The study, which was backed by funding from the National Science Foundation, is one of the first pieces of research to link parental behavior to children's video game playing habits. Researchers surveyed more than 500 students from 20 middle schools in the state and found that more children perceived their parents' behavior as negative, and the less monitoring parents did, the more children played video games. The next step, says lead researcher Linda Jackson, is to find out what fuels children's video game behavior. Does a parent's negative interactions with their child drive the child into the world of video games, perhaps to escape the parent's negativity? This is coming from Jackson, professor of psychology at MSU. Or alternatively, does video game playing cause the child to perceive his or her relationship with the parent as negative? Jackson said that the relationship between video game playing and actual rather than perceived behavior of parents may also be at play in some situations. Perceptions don't always mirror reality, she said, and this may be the case in the child-parent relationship. The research is a small part of a large project researchers are exploring about the effects of technology use on children's academic performance, social life, psychological well-being, and moral reasoning.
Yeah, you think what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't really, I mean, I had, I mean, it was back in the NES and whatnot days when I was growing up, Super Nintendo, but yeah, I do remember if I thought my parents were nagging, either I was playing a game or I had a book in my hand just to tune them out.
I was a goody two-shoes, so I never had any of those issues where, you know, my mother was telling me to do stuff. I think, I'm going to tell you how goody two-shoes I was. Saturdays when you guys were out drinking, I was at the library. I kid you not. I go to the library early Saturday morning. I get up and have breakfast and walk to the library, and I would stay there until they kicked me out all day.
Wow, no.
So, and I had my games. I'd spend days playing games, but again, multitasking comes into play. I did have a book in one hand and a controller in the other. When I die, you know, because back then, you know, the game didn't start over instantly. You had to wait for it to reload. Mm-hmm. So while it was reloading, I'm reading. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's time to play again. Okay, let's, you know. So I was a good kid. I didn't get in a whole lot of trouble. I waited until I was old enough to bail myself out of jail, because it's much better when you don't have the parents standing out there yelling at you and threatening you when you get. I'm just saying, you know, not that I've been to jail. I don't admit anything. Can neither confirm nor deny the allegations.
No, never. No.
Of course not,
I've never
ever.
Been to jail. I've never been to jail. I can actually say that. I've never been to jail.
I have. I'll tell you. I live in Texas, and these people are crazy. I got taken to jail for a parking ticket. Really.
Oh, my God.
Yes. No. That's the one thing about Texas. They're a little too serious with the parking tickets. And I was so shocked. And that when you're in there, of course, there's other people that are in there for other crazy stuff, like walking down the street on the wrong side. You know, facing, you were not facing the traffic. You were walking with the flow of traffic. Really? You brought this person to jail because of this? And I remember the girl that was in there with me, she kept saying that. One of the girls, I got arrested because I was not, you know, I was coming, going to class. And I was, you know, walking with the traffic. She said, but I really didn't have a choice. There was no sidewalk on the other side. And I was trying to hurry up and get to school. And she's in college. She went to U of H. And I thought she was lying. I said, she is lying. She's on crack or something. And sure enough, when we got to court that morning, that's exactly what she was in there for.
Wow. No. Oh, my God.
I think I've said this story before. Yeah. Know your rights, people. Know your rights. They can get you. They can get you. They can. In Texas.
That is nuts. That is
crazy. I know.
And I would say there's no way, but no, I've lived here long enough.
What's that?
Yeah, it's definitely very possible.
You don't get in trouble here and think you're going to escape it. Oh, I live in Michigan. They will come to Michigan to get you.
They will, too. Not that I've ever helped bring somebody back here.
No, but they will come get you. Know, you've heard people that say, I was, you know, on vacation. They will come find you.
Oh, no. See, I was totally just being.
Oh, you've been
persistent? Yeah, I've helped track somebody down.
Oh, you know what? I forgot who I was talking to.
It was fun.
Okay. Let me move along, because we're all talking about jail. Before I do that, that reminds me, there's somebody advertising a gadget here that is supposed to help you see police officers, and they'll install it in your car, you know, see if they're, you know, the speed traps. Mm-mm. And I'm just wondering, is that legal?
No, most states they are not.
That is weird. And they're actually advertising it on TV, and I'm like, I don't think that that's legal.
No, in most states that is not legal. I don't know if you remember, everybody had those in their car there for a while, and they'd like beep or whatnot if you came across, if you got close enough to somebody that was scanning, a police that was scanning for speeders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you could actually block it back then. And seeing that may be the deal. That could be why they're selling it now. It may not be able to jam it.
I don't know, but I sure have seen it. And, of course, I've seen a few new apps pop up that do the same thing. And so,
See, I've seen the apps. I've seen the apps that tell you where there's, you know, where somebody is logged in that, hey, yeah, there's a speed trap sitting right here. And I guess those technically aren't illegal.
I mean, on the other hand, criminal-wise, I could see where it could cause a problem. What if somebody's kidnapped and, you know,
mm-hmm.
the person is using that to see where the cops are. But on the other hand, as a person who drives really fast, I think I would like to have one of those. Just saying. I'm trying to control the speed, but
the pedal just keeps going into the floor. I don't know what happens.
You know, the newer the car is that you get, the less aware you are of the speed that you're going. So nine times out of ten, I don't realize I'm going that fast. I just look down and it's like, oh, I'm doing 75 in a 35 mile. I need to slow down. Oh.
See, there is something to be said of driving an older truck or whatnot. You get going that fast, it rattles.
Stuff starts falling off. Dust is flying up behind you. Yeah, yeah.
Look, I'm doing 55. I need to slow down.
I can't hear myself on my cell phone. Hello?
You heard they're raising the speed limit here in Texas.
Again? We're already at 60.
70 around here.
Well, it's maybe 60-65 is depending on what area of Houston you're in, but I think it's 60 like within the downtown area, but as you get further out it's 70, but I don't think we need any more speed.
Yeah, they're raising it to like 80-85.
No, we're crazy and we have guns. This is not a good idea.
No.
All right, so in what may end up being Netflix for ebooks, Amazon is currently in talks with book publishers to launch a new digital book library for customers of its premium Prime service. The Wall Street Journal is reporting this. If Amazon manages to convince publishers to sign onto the plan, which would grant Prime subscribers access to a collection of ebooks for no extra charge, it could end up being a fundamental shift for books, as Netflix streaming video service has been for movies and shows. Book publishers will get a substantial fee for participating, but some publishing executives aren't convinced the plan is in their best interest, as they think it could ultimately lower the value of books. The WSJ is saying this. Amazon Prime costs about $79 a year and offers customers free two-day shipping, $3.99 next-day shipping, and access to Amazon's library of streaming video content. Having access to a bundle of ebooks would fit right into Prime and would add more value to the service for existing subscribers. Sources tell WSJ that the ebook library would consist of older titles, another similarity to Netflix, and that Prime subscribers would be limited to downloading a few titles from the library every month. Amazon's Kindle ebook store currently has over 950,000 items.
Wow.
Amazing. So now, it certainly wouldn't cost Amazon much to offer Prime subscribers a choice selection of free ebooks, and it also would help solidify Amazon's relationship with Kindle owners and tempt many to Prime. The company is also expected to launch a tablet dubbed the Kindle this November for $250. I would like to have that, but not for I don't necessarily need the books to be free. I'm a huge Stephen King fan, and if I had a Kindle, that's probably all I'd read on it. But I wouldn't mind paying like a little rental fee to be able to rent it, you know, for like a week, because that's about how long it takes me to read, about 350 pages or less, time. So I wouldn't mind that if, you know, if it was a rental thing, if it was like Netflix, that I'd pay for.
Yeah.
And I'm all about saving some trees, so yeah. It is hard. I'm going to tell you, the hardest thing for me on the iPad is when we're playing, you know, I'm playing the games, I go to get, you know, they give us the little code and we go to download it. It is hard when I see all those magazines. oh, man, it's hard not to just start downloading.
Yeah, actually, we were talking about this yesterday. I've got a birthday coming up and people are like, what do you want? You know, you read a lot. Maybe you could use one of those e-readers.
Yeah, e-readers are a good thing.
Mm-hmm. I want one too. I was like,
I would stay broke. Between virtual shoes and ebooks, it would just be broke, Corey.
All right, I gotta read this one just because the title amuses me, and every time I hear it, I see Pedo Bear. I want to play with Little Princess.
You know what? No, ma'am.
I'm all wrong. I know. New app launches for iPod, iPhone, and iPad. The perfect way to keep Little Princess and their entourages happy this summer. Tony Ross's royal star and staple of Channel 5's Milkshake, Little Princess is now available on iPod, iPhone, and iPad for Zodiac Kids, is proud to announce the launch of the first official Little Princess game in conjunction with the developers Jik Jak, a division of Neon Play.
Jik Jak, really?
I know, right? Little Princess, I Want to Play features four fun games for tots and toddlers to enjoy as they join in with some of Little Princess's favorite activities, and play along with her household of familiar friends, including Puss, Scruff, and Gilbert the Teddy.
No, I cannot take it, no.
Yes. The first game is Dress Up, a playful costume selection game where the player can drag a variety of colorful and fun clothes from Little Princess's wardrobe to choose an outfit fit for Princess at play. There are plenty of different outfits and accessories to choose from, such as a swimsuit, a fireman's suit, clown hat, pirate eye patch, and, of course, her trusty Teddy Gilbert.
That's what I'm talking about. Love me some pirate eye patching. Okay.
Mm-hmm. In bath time, players can choose to wash their puss or scruff, and once the is lathered, bubbles begin to float around the screen. Players must then pop all of the bubbles as quick as they can, which is both very entertaining and rewarding. Puss and Scruff also feature.
Oh, that's not that was supposed to be applause, but it sounded like ghosts screaming. So, yeah, we're a little early for Halloween. Oh, my God.
Yes. Puss and Scruff also feature in Bunny Bop, a game which involves the player tapping on rabbits to poke out of the holes of the, on the hill. The more bunnies bopped, the bigger the score. The final game, Pairs, is an easy-to-play version of the classic game where players match faces of all the favorite Little Princess characters on playing cards. Little Princess I Want to Play allows fans of the popular TV show to become immersed in her friendly and playful cartoon world. The four games are based on Little Princess's favorite activities and are all inspired by the popular TV series. All right, so if you want to get this, it's $1.99 pounds Linden's Franks cookies something or $2.99 USD. And available worldwide exclusively through the App Store in the family category.
The family category. Yes, Jay, you did hear that correct. That is exactly what you said.
Oh, you silly English folks.
Is it a UK game? Is that what it is? Oh,
yes.
Wow. I love that. I don't even know what to make of that. I don't think I can play that without just, like... Yeah. And then I was managing somehow to stand with a straight face until I started laughing. I was like, I'm sorry.
I was trying so hard. So hard.
Because we are professionals. All right. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Breathe. Okay, I'm gonna move it along to something else. I cannot talk about this anymore. I refuse. Maybe later. Okay.
Aww.
All right. So those of you who love your evil to be in Dungeons and Dark will love the fact that Dungeons the Dark Lord is almost due out. Time for the Return of Darkness, as Calypso Media is making available some new screenshots. Do we have those up?
I don't know.
I don't think they actually sent us any. I love when they say that and then they don't give any screenshots. Anyway,
there were a lot of things today that they sent us with no screenshots.
And they're like, here's a new screenshot. There is no screenshots attached to this. Dungeons the Dark Lord is the standalone sequel to Dungeons, the game where the more evil you are, the better. You can download the new... Oh, we'll have the screenshots here shortly. Let me get with them. But it's blah, 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 blah. In Dungeons the Dark Lord, there's a slew of exciting new features, including four-player multiplayer in three modes, along with the addition of multiplayer modes such as Deathmatch and King of the Hill. There's now the ability to play as some of the game's popular bosses, Minos, the Dungeon Lord, the Zombie King, and more. In multiplayer, along with the addition of extensive single-player campaign, a new dungeon setting, and approximately 25 unique prestige gimmicks. Here's a couple of features they added in they want us to tell you about, so I guess we'll do it. There's, of course, the three multiplayer modes for up to four players, which I just told you about. Entirely new, fully scripted and voiced single-player campaign. Campaign. New dungeon setting, Ice Crystal Cave, with new graphics, unique prestige gimmicks, and a new boss monster, the Yeti. I want to play this because there's a Yeti in it. Playable bosses in multiplayer modes, which we already told you about. Various dungeon graphics settings and inventories are now available. A new set of skills specifically for multiplayer modes. I love how they put in graphics as a feature. Really? I do love Calypso Media, though. Well, I'm just going to say that. Apparently, they put screenshots in, and they are massive. No, people. There are screenshots. They're just huge. So after we spray some starch on them or something, what shrinks the stuff?
Starch?
I don't know. Whatever shrinks them down. After we do that, then we'll give them up. I'm sorry. I'm trying to ignore that story still last. I can hear it replaying in my head. And say, wait, watch your what? Oh, I do want to make an announcement quickly. Okay, I may be behind on this one. I think I mentioned this last week, but it's I'm thinking it's still going on. Well, you got two more days. In case you didn't know, we do have a virtual fashion session for those of you who like the clothes. You may not be a supermodel and you can't wear them in real life, but Second Life's a whole different world. One of the more prevalent fashion designers, Modavia, who I love, is having their own fashion week. They're releasing their fall set. I can't talk today. They're having a preview of the new fall designs from Paper Couture. This is going to be on the 15th, and it's going to be on all of the Modavia Sims. You can check that out on our website shortly because I'm trying to get it to work. You know, Ginger puts up her stuff. The elven ears just broke the whole site.
The elven ears are so hot.
They broke the whole freaking site. All right. I think
put up some more elven ear pictures.
What are we going to do with you?
You're going to love me.
We do love you.
Adorable and stuff.
We do love you. We love you like cooked food. Maybe.
Cooked food.
Cooked food. All right. So there you go. All right. So anyway, we'll have up. I have that up. If you're new to Second Life, all you got to do is sign up for an account via us. Just click on the little link. It'll take you to sign up. And then you can go in and look at all the fashions. Mm-hmm. I would advise you, if you're a newbie, sit down somewhere quickly. As soon as you log in, people will start yelling at you because you get in the way. Then the fashion people are the worst at it. They do not play. You do not stand in front of these people when they are looking at these clothes coming down the runway. Yeah, get your feelings hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Or they will kick you off the sim and you'll be like, what happened? But if you love you some clothes, you can't afford them in real life, or you can't wear them in real life, you're not, 8 foot tall, like a young model.
Follow Ginger. Look at all her stuff on the website, Dominatrix. I will tell you where to shop for free to look good.
Yes.
Very good.
And I will be posting eventually. Cora is so busy. I have so much stuff. Like our old Flickr pictures from Men's Fashion Week earlier this year, we still have tons of those. We never even shared with you. Some of them are of me and Ginger and I working it. Because we had to.
We were.
Yes, we had to. That one chick, I felt like I was just playing next to her. You know what I'm talking about with the big font?
Yes. She was so amazing.
Her, and there was another girl there. I can't remember her name. She's the one that was dressed like the crazy librarian. Oh, my God. Ginger and I were like, God, we got to go shopping. Look at them.
No kidding. They were hot. They were hot. Yeah, I'm totally going as an elf this year. I've already decided. Going as an elf.
You're going to the, when we go to Fashion Week, you're going to.
Yes.
I can't sit next to you with a beard. I can't. I cannot do it. I'm just going to sit two seats down from you. I'll talk to you from over two people over.
Oh, that's good. I've already got my eyes on another pair of ears.
Oh, God. Somebody help us. All right.
Come play with us.
In the spirit of fashion games, there's a new game. It's my turn, right? Yeah, still.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, there's a new game out on Facebook for those of you who love the whole fashion genre. I do on occasion, yeah. Argentina's Metro game has launched Coco Girl fashion game on Facebook. My guess is that the people at Coco Chanel have not caught on to this yet, and if it gets popular, it's going to be a juicy fight. I'm just warning you ahead of time. Apparently, when did this launch? Yeah, it was launched today. The new game is a big departure from the title the company launched a month ago, which was Auto Hustle, where your goal is to become a world-class criminal. And that's the one I was telling you about. I can't remember the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's Auto Hustle. Guys, go play that. It's like the original GTA. Love it. It's a fantastic game. I couldn't remember the name, and I didn't bookmark it. Couldn't get back to it. All right. The move shows that the company is testing out different stages in a quest to make it big on Facebook and mobile platforms. While it looks light and casual, Coco Girl is a pretty deep game that has been in the works for more than a year, said Damian Harberger, who's the chief executive of Buenos Aires-based Metro Games, in an interview over with VentureBeat. He said a team of 40 has built this game and equipped it with several thousand fashion items that players can buy from a couple of dozen mall-like stores. There is a sort of major effort that it takes to compete on Facebook, where big rivals such as Zynga and EA have raised the ante. We want to take Facebook games to the next level. They said this is our biggest investment. Inspired by shows like Sex and the City, or Us, the game lets players create a unique virtual character or avatar and play dress up in a fairly sophisticated way. You can get your avatar's makeup done, style its hair at a salon, and shop in an experience that resembles real-world shops. You can follow quests where you can dress up for special occasions like prom or holiday dinner, or just socialize. You can also show off your new outfits every day, and you can send each other gifts and unlock premium outfits over time. And, of course, they had to say it, and I'm going to go and rip them a new one as soon as we're done with the show. Targeted at women in their 20s to 50s, Coco Girl is all about competition to create the best outfits and combination of clothes for occasions.
Why you got to be going after the women?
It's not that. It's the fluff that they just that I just read. It's fluff. I would rather you make a business sim would be much and aim this at women. And women never really, I know you guys think we do, we compete with what the other's wearing. No, we dress for the other women so that we do dress for other women in that I want to look nice so that they won't have anything bad to say about me. It's not a competition.
This is very true.
To be in competition, we'd all have to start off looking like, Tyra Banks to begin with. And then, he said, which is the best looking Tyra Banks out of the five of us, Tyra Banks, would be competition. So, obviously, we don't compete that way. So, I don't understand let's throw a competition in Because women, guys, do your research, really. What I want is a nice business sim. If you're going to do this, I want the clothes, and then I want to run a business, or I want to be the model or something.
Yes, because you and I, we had a blast. What was that one game we played? We ran our own little fashion store. We got
Pop Sugar. I loved that.
And it's no longer around, of course.
Yeah, Pop Sugar canceled retail therapy. But they didn't even get as in-depth as they could have. They were busy showing off the real-life designer's clothes, but they should have taken just a little bit deeper. I want, you know, my shipment to fail or somebody not to show up to work. Those are things that make it a simulator and make it interesting. You know, I want things to happen bad that I have to try to combat. But this right here is crap, and I will be talking to them. I'm going over to their page in just a minute. Mm-hmm.
Y'all are in trouble. Y'all done did it now.
Y'all is in trouble. I'm going to ask them one question. Y'all hear about this in a minute if they answer. Sometimes they don't answer us because, you know, we're what you call the bitches of gaming. Okay. We have crossed over into our break time, unfortunately.
We have. Again, we just keep right on doing that.
I was running my mouth. That's what happened there.
You know what? They shouldn't tick us off. That is my view. My view totally right there. If you wouldn't make us mad... I don't want to see us angry. All right, so I guess it's my turn.
Yes.
I got ninjas.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
50% off ninjas, too. All right, so 50% off back-to-school boredom sale for Elusive Ninja on the iPhone.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Bulletproof Outlaws is pleased to announce a 50% off back-to-school boredom sale on their first flashy, fast-paced iPhone and iPod Touch release, Elusive Ninja, The Shadowy Thief. With a 4-star rating on the U.S. App Store and a 4.5-star rating on the Canadian App Store. Hey, you Canadians have got an App Store? Cool. Elusive Ninja has over 20,000 users. Yeah, I'm going to be nice. Dodging, throwing stars, and catching sushi. The sale starts on Monday, September 12th, and runs through Sunday, September 18th. For students attending game development and business entrepreneurship courses, Elusive Ninja features over 100 pages of behind-the-scenes documentation about the game's development and the business side of starting up a game studio, a post-mortem analysis, and the original game design document with a commentary, and more. All right, so who is this? Jeff Hangartner, Bulletproof Outlaws founder, says, "School has just begun again, and with everyone getting settled in and no immediate exams to worry about, there's a lot of downtime for the first month of classes. I remember being bored silly and doodling in my notebooks, glancing up at the clock every 5 minutes, mourning the recent loss of my summer freedom. We didn't have phones capable of playing games back then, but if we did, you can bet I would have been fighting ninjas and flying spaceships instead of reading through dull course summary handouts. So with that torture in mind, I'm dropping Elusive Ninja's price by 50% for a week. I'd like to give it away for free, but I need to make enough money to pay my rent since I didn't pay attention in school." See what I did there? that's amusing. All right, so there is a trailer, which I'm pretty sure it's up on GameAndMatrix.com. If not, I'm going to get it up very shortly because I think I missed that link. And there is, you got to go over to GameAndMatrix.com. The image that they gave me to put up for it was hilarious. It's a flyer. It's amusing. Yeah, I laughed. I wish they actually told us more about the game, but they didn't. But it is pretty cool that they gave us all the documentation about making the game.
Okay.
And sorry if y'all are hearing a dinosaur in my background. It won't stop.
Can't hear a thing.
Okay.
So you're good. All righty then. I was sending that hot email over to the people at Metroid Games about their lovely Metro Games, I'm sorry. Metroid would have been better, at least. They've been something like anyway. All right, so GameStop has chosen Android for its own brand gaming tablet. GameStop is using Android operating system for its own brand, and it will launch with a number of titles pre-installed. The U.S. retailer has already chosen the model of tablet, which President Tony Bartel told GamesIndustry.biz is considered by the company to be GameStop certified and will sell along with hardware, alongside hardware from Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, and Apple when it hits stores this year. Really, GameStop? You're going to try to go toe-to-toe with all three Godzillas? Really? I don't see...
Well, if you're going to go after one, you might as well go after them all.
You should have probably just stayed in the small pond is what you should have done, GameStop. I'm sorry. I know you make money, but you were in your own, you know, little pond with other games retailers. And now, oof, not good idea. Because they're saying, I don't see any need to create a new one with 300 or so on the market already, said Bartel, of the decision to use existing hardware. We have a refurbishment center, and we can bring in the product and preload certain games onto it. It's an Android device. We definitely have selected one, he continued. We're in test phase right now, but we're excited at the prospect of coming out with this tablet. I would call it a GameStop certified platform. We looked at all the tablets, and these are the ones that really work for gaming. We're going to give you a few benefits that you're not going to get elsewhere. Really? Tests began on the hardware 2 weeks ago with consumers in Dallas, Texas. Yay! The first to get the hands-on device close to the company's beta testing site for streaming technology it bought from Spawn Labs. Although the product will initially have a modest selection of mobile games, GameStop intends to stream console games to the device and ship a dedicated controller for the experience. Really? Okay, that's not a lot of tablet Android-based games for the consumer. That are designed to use an external controller. There's a reason for that, because you're not supposed to. So that's now two gadgets I got to keep up with instead of just one. That was the point of them creating the tablet. Wow. So there are a few games out there and more that are coming, but our thoughts is that the tablet is a great immersive gaming device, so it's hard for us to envision how that tablet will really function as such without some sort of controller. And you just hit the nail on the head. Hard to envision.
Yeah.
So we've created a controller that we're testing to really allow for immersive gameplay. It's hard to imagine how to stream a game, let's say Modern Warfare 3, onto a tablet and then play it with your finger. I think that's rather easy. I could tell you. Give me a call. I could tell you exactly how to do it. Did you need some help over there? For a small consulting fee, I will help you out with that. He says, I know people have tried it and shown it, but it isn't great. It isn't a great immersive experience for the customer. Once it is, I think it's really exciting as it stands for now. I think we're seeing developer interest in developing immersive games that use a controller as well. But our first foray is to really be working with developers to create an install base of devices with the controller to allow them to develop immersive games. If I have a controller separate from my Pat tablet, what exactly is the point?
I don't know.
That's idiocy. That's why they made handhelds that the controller's built into it with the screen. So now you're going to force me. I have a tablet, and then I got to figure out how to get this thing to sit up, because who wants to lean over the tablet? Because, you know, there's nothing right now that I know of where you can sit it. I think, well, there's one company that made the keyboard thing, you know, that plugs in and you can sit it into it. But who wants to do that? What was the point? If I want to do that, I might as well get a laptop.
You know, and I have had this argument with someone that I know who wants one of those, and they're like, oh, then I can get the whole infrared keyboard, da-da-da-da-da, or I can get this docking station for it, and I can have the keyboard built in. It's kind of like, well, why don't you just get a laptop? It's the same thing. I mean, and the laptop, at least you can close and it folds together. You don't have 50 million little pieces.
Yeah, and you don't worry about it damaging because, you know, you were trying to turn it over or put it down to grab your coffee and it flips, the screen cracks, and, you know, you can shove the laptop in something. You can with the iPad, too, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
There's less chance of it getting damaged. Now they're starting to make the smart drives that handle being dropped.
Mm-hmm.
I just, this is idiocy.
Children.
This is idiocy. Who wants to get a tablet and then have a controller that you got to play with? It's stupid.
No, thank you. I will stick with my smartphone. I will stick with my Xperia Play. I don't need a controller because it is a controller.
Right?
It's awesome. All right. Just Dance Your Way to Carrie. Katy Perry. Today, Ubisoft announced dance game phenomenon Just Dance 3. As a sponsor of Katy Perry's forthcoming California Dreams UK tour. This sponsorship is highlighted by the Just Dance Your Way to Katy Perry contest, which challenges fans to record themselves and their friends dancing to the Just Dance version of Katy's Firework. Winners will receive VIP tickets to a concert of their choice and the chance to meet the global music icon backstage at her shows touring across the UK. Of the tour sponsorship, Katy Perry says, I'm a fan of Just Dance 3, and I'm glad it brings people together to dance, just like I get to do on my tour. That sounds like something planned by PR. That sentence is horrible. All right, so fans can get their hands on Just Dance 3 at each tour location and get the chance to see Katy Perry play in the game in a video shown before each performance. It's not the first time fans have seen Katy Perry play in Just Dance. This tour sponsorship follows her recent music video, Last Friday Night, TGIF, in which she plays the game and has now been viewed on YouTube over 72 million times. I did watch that video the other day, laughed my butt off. It was hilarious.
Yeah, it's because she's a silly one, isn't she?
She is. All right. Head of marketing at Ubisoft, Mark Slaughter, says this is a landmark sponsorship for Just Dance and demonstrates how this game has transcended its platform to become a hugely popular entertainment brand in the UK. The tour sponsorship of Katy Perry's California Dreams Tour offers fans a chance to meet Katy Perry in person by playing Just Dance 2. Katy Perry is a hugely popular global music icon, and Just Dance is a brand, as a brand has had a strong connection with Katy Perry since the first Just Dance with her hits Hot and Cold, and in Just Dance 2 with Firework, featuring both in-game and in advertising. The California Dreams Tour begins in Sheffield on October 12th and runs throughout the UK and Ireland until November. Ubisoft will be launching the eagerly anticipated third game in the Just Dance series on October 11th, just 2 days before my birthday. Just Dance 3 marks the debut of the Just Dance series on Kinect for Xbox, PlayStation Move, and PlayStation 3 computer entertainment systems, as well as its return to the Wii from Nintendo. All right, so you want more details on how to win a chance to meet Katy Perry backstage at select concerts? And for latest information on Just Dance 3, you can head over to the game's Facebook page, which is facebook.com/JustDanceUK.
All right, and I do believe that either today or tomorrow is Snow White's birthday, so we need to remember to do something terrible to her.
Happy birthday, Snow White. Fluffy cakes.
Did you say gropes the fluffy cakes?
Yes.
And she actually spoke the emote. It's just crazy. She is going to cut us, and that's going to be that. You guys remember to send Snow White your love with your hands above the desk.
Groping of the fluffy cakes.
No, don't grope the fluffy cakes. Well, she might like that. Who knows? All right. Is it time for us to go? I got time for one more, I think.
Okay.
Right now, I do have a Battlefield 3 trailer that is uploading for you lovely people to our YouTube channel. Make sure you're following if you like Battlefield 3. In case you do. All right. Where do I go? Where do I go next? There's so much goodness. Still so much juiciness coming. Okay. I got to pick one because we don't have time. Can't be playing around. All right. Remember that game, Heavy Rain?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Quantum Dreams is saying that they lost about $10
million
on secondhand Heavy Rain sales. They believe the company lost between $5 and $10 million of royalties due to the secondhand sales of the influential PlayStation 3 title Heavy Rain. Secondhand sales are fueled by the last recession, said co-founder Guillaume de Fudmieu. I think I said it. Is it Fondemieux? I may have screwed that up. I'm not going to pronounce it. I got your first name right, I'm pretty sure. My French just sucks. Where high game prices force consumers to seek out cheaper deals in the overpriced AAA market, I would say that the impact that the recession had, especially on AAA games on console, was the rise of secondhand gaming. And I think this is one of the number one problems right now in the industry, is what he told GamesIndustry.biz in an exclusive interview with him. Ha ha. He says, I can take just one example of Heavy Rain. We basically sold to date approximately 2 million units. We know from the trophy system that probably more than 3 million people bought this game and played it. On my small level, it's a million people playing my game without giving me 1 cent. And my calculation is, as Quantic Dream, I lost between 5 and 10 million worth of royalties because of secondhand gaming. While he sympathizes with the consumer who is faced with expensive titles, he also said that the simple problem is that developers will stop making games if they can't recoup a profit, which harms all areas of the ecosystem in the long term. He says, now I know the argument, you know, without secondhand gaming, people will probably buy less games because they buy certain games full price and then trade them in. He says, well, I'm not so sure this is the right approach, but I think that developers and certainly publishers and distributors should sit together and try to find a way to address this, because we're basically all shooting ourselves in the foot here. You can check out the rest of that story over at gamesindustry.biz if you so choose. And I'm going to say this again. Developers, instead of trying to jack up, spending all your time trying to jack up the price of the games, you should have been looking at this from day one. You should have told GameStop and anybody else that, yes, you can resell our games, but we do need to get a percentage of the profits back. Right now, they're getting everything from it. Once that game is returned and they resell it again, they get to keep all that money. And that's nobody's fault but your own. Sorry. Sorry, people. And it is time for us to go.
Time for us to go.
We've got stuff to do. Those of you who keep pinging me because you see me on playing Dead Island, I'm trying to write.
really, because I have a bunch of stuff I've been promising y'all for like weeks now that I got to get done. It's got to get out of my head and into some digital space somewhere. I do not have time to play with you nor give you your own personal review. That is what's killing me. Somebody I don't know. I usually accept all my friend invites. I'm nice. Somebody's messaging me. I see you playing Dead Island. How is it? Can you tell me how it is? I know you do reviews. So I'm supposed to give you your own personal review. Is that what you're telling me? What are you going to give me for the review?
I know. I don't understand some of these people.
Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about that. You got nowhere to hide. If you don't, shame on
you. I can feel you. I can feel you. I can hear you. I can feel you. Cause love will sting. Love will sting. Love will sting like the cotton seeds. I hear my kind in the coma freeze. I hear my kind in the coma freeze. Lonely, lonely.
Wow. Tell the people.
Later, boys and girls.